Hey, I'm Blake Giles.
I'm Jim Harden.
This is Sidelines.
And Headlines.
And we're here to talk about high school football and college football, maybe a little bit about the Falcons, too. I got to go to one game last week, Jim, as far as high school, I went to see Prince Avenue. They defeated Johns Creek 48-0. And it was as one-sided as it sounds.
I think they're safe to say they're going to be contenders. They're rolling.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Johns Creek is an interesting situation in that it's a Fulton County school with a 60% of its population is probably internationally based. They're descendants from Asians or Indians who moved into the neighborhood who have absolutely no interest in high school football. So they have to draw their student body from the other 40%, and a good many of them are interested in golf and tennis and soccer and lacrosse. So they just don't have, they probably have double A numbers in terms of the number of players they have on the squad. They had one senior on the in the game.
Gosh.
And the coach before said they'll probably play about two dozen players because they had a junior varsity game the night before, and the limitations are you can only play so many players. They never really seriously threatened. They've played four games this year, haven't scored. I don't know for sure. I can't remember if they even passed midfield, maybe once or twice. Prince scored without effort, really. It was a pretty effortless game. They played both quarterbacks about equally and equally successful on both parts. So a good win for them. And now they're back home this week against Westside out of Anderson, South Carolina. Last year, Westside beat Prince 49-41. And then went on and played for the state championship, lost in the state finals. This year, Westside has given up either six or seven touchdowns in three one-sided losses. Wow. So apparently they've lost a lot of players. Plus, they will not have their public address system working for them. The game last year up there, but when Prince had the ball, they turned up the music loud on their PA system. Well, that's against the rules. And Prince Avenue coach Greg Vandegrift turned to athletic director Richard Rickard, said, "You got the South Carolina rule book. Find the rule in there." So at a timeout, he went out and showed the rule to the official. The official says, "Oh, we don't enforce that." What do you do with that?
That's unbelievable. Well, it sounds like Prince may be in a little position to get a little revenge this year.
Oh, I think they will. I think they'll do well this Friday night. And then they can start looking toward on down the way toward region play. Hey, did you see the Colquitt County, Lee County results?
I saw it. I didn't know all the details. So you shared a little bit that with me.
You know, in Georgia high schools, if you get ahead by 30 points at halftime, the losing team can choose to have a running clock. In the fourth quarter, it's mandatory. And going into the fourth quarter, Colquitt County was up 43-12. So that's 31 points. Lee County, with a running clock, scored 24 points and had a chance for an onside kick with a minute and a half to play to come back. That would have been an unbelievable
comeback. That would have been
comeback.
The story of the year.
And the final score, 43-36, lost by seven.
Unbelievable.
They must have scored three touchdowns, gone for two every time. I don't know the details of it.
Well, that's a different kind of shootout. We talked briefly last week about Carrollton coming to Gainesville. Mm-hmm. They had a shootout. I think it was tied up 21-21. In the fourth, maybe, and Carrollton ended up winning by like three touchdowns.
Yeah, they dominated the fourth quarter.
That was a crazy game.
Gainesville, I think, had an interception late in the third quarter to pull with it. It was 22-21 going into the fourth quarter.
Clark Central was off this week. Athens Academy was off. Athens Academy's Commerce this week.
Both of them were off last week.
Yeah, both of them are off. Oconee County beat Stevens. They're off this week. Cedar Shoals lost to Morgan County, which they have a pretty
no shame there. Morgan County is really a good program, doing well.
But what about? I think it's safe to say you talk about Prince. I think it's safe to say that North Oconee is a contender.
Oh yeah, they're the real deal, and they didn't lose a lot of players, and they've got. Of course, Harrison Faulkner, their quarterback, who's committed to go to Georgia Southern, had another outstanding game. And they shut out Jefferson. Second year in a row, and that's the first time that's happened to Jefferson in decades, that a team has shut them out 2 years in a row. Now, unfortunately for Jefferson, their ground game was their game. And Max Brown, younger brother of Sammy Brown, I'm told, had an MCL injury on the first play of the game. And so that pretty well away their chances right there. And what they'll do coming forward, I don't know. Clark Central has to, they're home, they play Jackson County. They've played them 9 times, and Clark Central has won all 9 times. I think this is going to be the year that Jackson County gets them. Because Jackson County comes
pretty
in.
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, they come in 3-1, almost beat Jefferson earlier this year. So when Jefferson went at its peak. So this could be the year that they do it.
We hope all the Athens area teams do well. But I think as the season goes on, Prince, Athens Academy, North Oconee, those are the teams when it gets down to playoff time we're probably still going to be talking about.
Now, one other game to mention was Walnut Grove beating Monroe Area last week, 21-14. Now, that was not the first time they'd ever beaten Monroe Area, but it's the first time they've ever beaten Monroe Area and Loganville in the same year. Win the mythical Walton County Championship. And it was the first time ever they had beaten a ranked team.
Wow.
So Walnut Grove now is 4-0, and they host Cedar Shoals, who was 0-4. Now, Cedar Shoals did score some points last week. They got some offense going, but still looking for that first victory. So they're just still trying to get over the hump over there, and I'm really hoping Coach Rusty Sharpia can just find a way to, because it's better when Cedar Shoals is good. That's just right. Is better.
And I think they're better. I just don't think they've gotten the, you know, they could have beaten Clark Central, you know.
But, so anyway, that's it. This week I'll be at that Westside game. You got plans to go to a game?
I don't know. I'm still working on that. I got to check with the wife.
I understand. I understand that. She may not be quite the high school football fan
are. Unfortunately, she's not.
Now, while I'm at it, let me ask you, did Presbyterian do last week?
They won.
They won, so they're unbeaten now, aren't
they? They beat Erskine.
Okay.
You're talking about Presbyterian College.
Yeah,
right?
Presbyterian College, yeah.
And they were, I saw where they're ranked in the top 25 now of the FCS poll. So
yeah,
we'll keep up with the Blue Hose every week.
Right. Well, we're going to talk some college football when we come back. Also later, we're going to have an interview with David Weeks. He's the father of 3 linebackers playing at LSU, and we were able to catch up with him last week before the Florida game. So we look forward for that. So stay with us here on Sidelines and Headlines. All right. Hey, Blake Giles.
Jim Harden.
Sidelines and Headlines back with you to talk about some college football. And, Jim, I guess as good a place to start as any is Georgia's 44-41 win over Tennessee. That was an instant classic.
That was, even if you didn't care who won, it was an entertaining game to watch. It was fun.
Good friend of mine, Tal Talmadge, was at the game, and he's with friends with people who get tickets down low in the Tennessee area. So he and his wife, Jill, always sit up there in the Tennessee area. And at the end of the game, when Tennessee's ahead and driving down for what looks like that game-winning field goal, Tal said those folks were going to rush the field. They were fixing to cost the school $500,000. And a security guard, noticing they were red and black, said, listen, you guys either should leave now or if the field gets rushed, you should go down with them and head up that tunnel and get out of the way. Well, of course, we know what happened. And Tal said after the game, those people were mean and nasty. They were upset. They were upset.
Well, a lot of people have said it. I think I've heard Coach Jim Donnan say it a few times. You know, things are never as good as they seem, never as bad as they seem. You know, the guy makes the field goal, the conversation is
sure.
A little different.
Well, it is.
And, I mean, Tennessee and even Kirby said it. They had the game won.
Yeah.
But, you know, Georgia, you got to be, if you're a Georgia fan, you got to be happy. Just the fact they figured out a way to win. Mm-hmm. You got to be happy with the offense.
What was your impression of Gunnar Stockton?
No, I thought he looked great. I thought he looked like Stetson Bennett the fifth or something out there.
Well, I'm telling you, that throw he made to London Humphreys at the end of the fourth quarter, that's an all-timer.
No, it was.
That's going to be one of the all-time great plays in Georgia football lore. And I thought he did well. He ran when he needed to. They managed to move the ball. Still a little concerned with the offensive line. They had some breakdowns late. I'm not sure they've got their rotation down and exactly who needs to be in when and all those kind of things. What was your impression of Joey Aguilar, the Tennessee quarterback?
I thought they looked good. I'd be concerned if I was a Georgia fan, you know, Bama, watching that tape, you know, did they see some vulnerabilities in the defense? I mean, I think Georgia will, they'll use that to their advantage. They'll look better against Alabama. I think you wonder about Georgia's defense. You wonder how good Tennessee's defense really was. I mean, Georgia's offense looked great, but, you know, Tennessee had some guys in the secondary that were, you know, didn't play, were banged up. And, you know, you got to think Georgia's defense is going to be good down, yeah, a lot better down the, yeah, stretch. Not many teams are going to score 40 on.
Well, I mean, Aguilar, the first quarter, played perfect football.
He did.
Every throw on the money. I mean, he could not have played any better. Now, he took a couple of hits, and then after that, he was a little bit not quite as accurate. Also, his long balls, he seemed to throw it up for grabs in a way, a really high ball, and I'm not sure that's going to carry it forward. He needs to put maybe not as much air under the ball going forward.
No, one of those touchdowns, that was purely a receiver making a good play.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't a great throw.
Well, I like what Kirby said. We didn't get beat, but we didn't make the play. You know, there were two times there that the defensive back was more or less in position, but mistimed his jump or didn't get the hand on the ball, that kind of thing. But, you know, they got a week off and get ready for Alabama, who, tell you what, Simpson, what's his name, the quarterback?
Simpson.
He's looking impressive.
Well, you know, I know a lot of people kind of writing Bama off after that loss to Florida State. I think it'll be a good game, mm-hmm, and we'll have a chance to hopefully talk about that next week. But what about Tech?
Oh, man, I love the way they ran the field goal unit on out there and got that kickoff there at the very end of the game.
Just poised.
Yeah.
They were prepared.
Yeah.
Impressive.
And Haynes King again, you know, didn't play the week before, but came back, and now Brent Key is touting him for the Heisman Trophy. Let's put him in the running for the Heisman Trophy. That may be, who knows, quote, premature, I don't know, but he certainly played well.
He's a good player. He really is. And you wonder if Clemson can find their way to the – they'll probably – find their way to the ACC title game and win and be in the playoff like they were last year. And I don't even think they're very good. But
well, it's a case of expectations in a sense with Clemson. They came in the season ranked number 4, and they had a quarterback who was highly regarded, and they have just not lived up to it at all this year. I mean, they struggled. They lost to LSU, trailed Troy 16-0, and struggled, obviously lost against Tech. And Dabo's trying to circle the wagons and not throw up the white flag, but say we've still got what it takes to win. But they've got a narrow margin of error now.
Well, they're just like Notre Dame. You know, Notre Dame lost, and you wonder, can they –
I don't know that Notre Dame has a path back.
They don't, because of at least Clemson, if they win their conference, I guess they get an automatic bid. Notre Dame's kind of – they don't have an easy schedule.
Yeah, they don't have any good wins left unless Southern Cal is doing really well when they play them, and then they still got to beat them. But that game could have been a lot more one-sided. The Texas A&M quarterback missed a couple of balls, and, you know, they could have won that game earlier than they did. It's a dramatic win. It's always great to win up there. Georgia fans can talk about that, getting a 1-point win back in 2017. So,
we talked briefly the last few weeks about my Auburn Tigers. They looked a little lukewarm.
South Alabama, right?
South Alabama, who has some athletes, but, you know, it's kind of like Georgia versus Austin Peay, but don't want to dwell on it too much. I've been saying it, you know, for a month. You know, if they got Oklahoma there, the next game they've got A&M out there. I just realized this week A&M's off this week. So you got two monster games. They would need really bad to win one of those. Mm-hmm. So they win one of those, they got an off week, then Georgia, and, you know, maybe they would have a chance against Georgia at home, but it's the next three games are challenging.
Well, how is it going to be with Jackson Arnold, the Auburn quarterback? It's the game's in Oklahoma,
it's
right?
In Oklahoma.
I mean, he's played six or seven games out there already as the Oklahoma quarterback. He'll be familiar with the ground and the turf and all, but wearing a different color jersey, that's just modern football. That's where we're at these days.
Yeah, they've tried to downplay it. And I think he left there. It seemed like there were a lot of ill will against him or anything. So, you know, they'll kick it off and start playing, and it'll just be another game, I'm sure.
There you go. Well, speaking of quarterbacks, what are we to make of Arch Manning at Texas?
I don't know. I heard Chuck Oliver talking on the radio earlier and, you know, just trying to break it down. I don't get it. You know, you think against what would seem to be not a strong opponent, you know, he would just throw for 400 yards and all of a sudden he's back in a conversation of being a great quarterback. Everybody thinks he is, but I think I
read he had 10 straight incomplete passes in that game.
Just,
and, you know, it's always a fool's game to try to read high school quarterbacks and read into the future necessarily. Sometimes you've got some guys that can't miss and they don't miss, but sometimes they just don't work out. And maybe he's that guy. I don't know.
I thought just a little bit I've watched him. I was like, does he really have the supporting cast that everybody thought he did? And that's what one of the things Chuck Oliver was saying. I mean, they've got good guys.
Well,
around
him. Didn't they have to rebuild their offensive line?
Yeah, I think
pretty much like Georgia has. And people don't appreciate sometimes how important that position is for the offensive line. And I think that's been the root of some of Georgia's problems. Is not having that consistency up front in the offensive line. So maybe it doesn't go any further than that. Now, I did read this. Texas has got a five-star quarterback who is committed to come there next year, Dia Bell. He has shut down his senior season because of some injury concerns. And so if you're thinking, okay, if Arch doesn't work out, we got this five-star coming in next year, That may not be the answer either.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they went out and bought him a tight end in the portal. I just don't know. Texas is one of those programs, you know, where you talk about Georgia, Ohio State, LSU,
they whoever. Got everything they need to be successful.
Yeah, I mean, how could they not have playmakers out in space that he can get the ball to? And they just look anemic.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Now here's a team that has surprised me. It's Missouri, and they found a running back out there.
They have.
That guy got over 220 yards last week, and heck, they could be the surprise of the conference right now. All right, one other game to talk about: Vanderbilt over South Carolina. Did that surprise you?
A little bit. You know, the South Carolina quarterback getting hurt was obviously a factor, but I think they would have beat them. Either way, I think they might be good. I thought of something. You look at all the teams, you got the Georgias and the Texas and the, you know, probably LSU, you know, and Tennessee, you know, they're good. They were in the playoff last year. But you've got so many programs that right now, I mean, they're feeling good, like they could be good. Vandy, you mentioned Missouri, A&M, even Mississippi State's undefeated. They got an easy game this week. They're probably going to be 4-0. Auburn. You know, all these teams, you know, we did the better or worse game before the season started. All these teams can't finish with 9 or 10 wins. You
all
know,
right.
somebody's gonna lose.
All right, that leads me to a game I want to play, Glad Saturday. Let's look at each SEC program and a couple nearby and say, are their fans glad, are they sad, or are they mad? So let's just go in alphabetical order.
Right.
Alabama, glad, sad, or mad?
Mad.
You think they're mad. Why?
I think they're just spoiled and they're frustrated over that they're reeling over that Florida State.
I think they're beginning to get back to glad because they played two pretty good games. Now, the first one was not against a very strong opponent, UL Monroe, but the win at Wisconsin was a legitimate win.
I think so.
Now, they got an off week, and then the tale will be told with the Alabama-Georgia game. All right, how about Arkansas? Glad, sad, or mad?
If I was a Razorback, I'd kind of be sad. I wouldn't be optimistic. You know, they got beat. They had a chance to win against Ole Miss.
I think I would be sad too. I don't. You know, they say that Sam Pittman's been on the hot seat, but he's fielding a competitive program. And they just, I mean, just a little bit short of being able to get over the top. All right, how about Auburn? Glad, sad, or mad?
Glad.
Yeah, I think they're definitely
I know personally I'm ecstatic to be 3-0. At this point, you know, the next 3 weeks may be ugly, but they got to be glad right now.
Yeah, I mean, the last year was a struggle, and, they just couldn't get anything going. And I think they feel like, well, we've got a quarterback, and, you know, we got some good receivers, and this is it. So I think they're glad, too. All right, Florida, glad, sad, or mad?
Mad.
Yeah, they're mad.
Well, it goes back to what you and I have talked about before. Their program, I mean, their fans, rightly so, they should expect a more competitive team than they've been. I think that they're getting to the point where they're just frustrated and angry.
And, you know, when your quarterback, who's a five-star, DJ Lagway, comes into the season expected to be one of the top quarterbacks, really, and throws five interceptions.
Crazy.
What do you do with that? I don't know.
It just doesn't look right.
All right, how about Kentucky? Glad, sad, or mad?
Sad. What do you think?
I think they're sad. It's just they're kind of in quicksand up there. They're just always swimming upstream.
That's a good way to put it.
And just it's a tough league. They never have been able to get over the top. And when you look at what's happening down in Nashville, you look, well, it's possible. And they just haven't been able to do it. So I think they're feeling pretty sad right now. All right, how about, we skipped over Georgia. Glad, sad, or mad?
Glad.
I think they're glad. I mean, that was a big win.
If I was a Georgia fan, if they lost the next three, I'd still be glad. This is as good as it gets for them, I think. You look at their program historically. They got to be, but they got to be glad to, you know, not knocking them at all. They did a great job getting the win, even though they might have kind of lucked into it, if you want to say that, with Tennessee messing up at the end.
Did you feel bad for the kicker?
I don't know. I was happy he kind of came back and, you know, made the kick in overtime. But the guy, the offensive lineman that got the 5-yard procedure penalty, that wasn't good either. Mm-hmm. I think that kid in that scenario, he'll recover. He'll have a chance to make a big one or two as the year goes on.
You know, and I always feel bad about kickers who get put in that situation. And, you know, that's somebody's son, you know, somebody's brother or whatever, and he had a bad day. But speaking of that, did you watch the Texas A&M Notre Dame game?
A little bit of it.
Well, at the end of the game, of course, the Notre Dame holder, who used to be their quarterback, dropped the snap, and that turned out to be the difference in the game. They must have shown him on TV 20 times. I'm thinking, what's up with that? Why do they keep zeroing in on that guy? That's the Notre Dame channel, too.
Yeah.
That's doing that. I thought that was uncalled for. That was that bad form by the producer there.
Well, you said a good something important. You know, if you've been a parent that had a child that plays sports, you have a different view on that.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk to David Weeks, and he'll talk about that, being a parent. All right, how about LSU? Glad, sad, or mad?
Glad.
Yeah.
If they can overcome their coach, they may have a chance to really make some
noise. Now, he was mad after the game.
Did you see that? I saw that.
He got upset with a question from one of the reporters, a TV reporter, and I thought it was a pretty fair question. You get five interceptions and you only score, 20 points? You ought to get more points than that, wouldn't you think?
He does. And one thing I don't like, I think a lot of people don't like about Kelly, I've seen him. He's gone on a few rants, and they just don't seem genuine, you know. When Saban used to go on them, you felt like it was coming from the heart.
Well, now, to be honest and give him credit, Brian Kelly did come back and make a public apology as well as a private apology to the TV reporter, and he said, I need to do better in my media relations. But, you know, I've been there. I've been in that audience where you're asking questions, and sometimes the questions are not very well phrased. And coaches are in the heat of the moment. And this is an emotional experience for them, win or lose. And so they're keyed up. And I don't hold it against them if they lose their temper for a moment or two. It's no big deal. So
Those coaches need to keep in mind the The media and the fans, those are their customers.
Yeah. All right. Mississippi State, glad, sad, or mad?
Glad.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they got an easy game. Whoever it is they play this week, like I mentioned earlier, I think they'll be 4-0. That's just unbelievable.
They already won more than they won all of last year. Yeah. Okay, Missouri, glad, sad, or mad?
Glad. I looked at Auburn's got to play Missouri in a few weeks. I'm already getting nervous about that one. I mean, if they're hot, they can beat anybody.
All right, Oklahoma, glad. Yeah, they're glad. They got a quarterback who's getting Heisman Trophy consideration. In fact, he's number 2 on the Heisman list. Do you know who number 1 is?
I saw that, but I can't remember.
Our old friend Carson Beck.
That's
right. Miami.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that's right.
All right, how about Ole Miss? Glad, sad, or mad?
I guess they're glad right now.
Yeah, they're lukewarm glad. They're undefeated. I don't know they're really thrilled with what they've done. But I tell you, Lane Kiffin did a job with that backup quarterback.
He did.
Transfer from Ferris State. And he had a great game against Arkansas. So, kudos to him. All right, South Carolina, glad, sad, or mad?
I don't know. The Gamecocks, they're kind of, psychologically, you never know where they are. I'm going to say sad.
I think they're mad.
You're probably right.
They feel like they've underperformed this year based on what they did last year. And, of course, now Virginia Tech already pulled the trigger, fired their coach, and there's two names that have come up for where they should go to. One of them's a Beamer. You know who the other one is?
Mike Vick
over at Norfolk State. And I like what he said. I'm looking ahead to the next game, It'd be interesting for Vick to get the job up there. I don't know. I don't know if he's quite ready for that.
Yeah,
that'd be a big jump.
Yeah, that'd be tough.
Yeah. All right, Tennessee, glad, sad, or mad?
Mad.
I think so, too. They're mad. I mean, they thought they had Georgia after 8 straight losses, and like I said, my friend Tal, he said at the end of the game, they were just mean and nasty. So they're mad up there. All right, Texas A&M, glad, sad, or mad?
Glad.
Very much so.
Yeah.
It was a big win up there, and they're unbeaten right now. And
as I mentioned earlier, they got the off week, then they got Auburn, mm-hmm. which may not be good for Auburn, but it's probably good for them.
All right. Vanderbilt, glad, sad, or mad?
Ecstatic.
They may be mad with joy. You and I both thought last year was a flash in the pan, this year was going to be a down year. And Clark Lee has really turned that program, and they're not a juggernaut by any means, but they're competitive now, and you cannot take them for granted.
But they got a quarterback, he's, whatever you think about him, as an individual player, he's got that little Stetson Bennett factor mm-hmm. where he's got a little swagger. He kind of lifts everybody else up, and that Clark Lee, I think he's kind of got them believing a little bit. They can be competitive against whoever.
Yeah. So. All right, Clemson, glad, sad, or mad?
Mad.
They are mad. And Dabo Dabo built them into a perennial powerhouse for several years. And then kind of the rules changed. The transfer portal, NIL, and there's a perception that he has not kept up. Whether that's accurate or not, I don't know. They've got a bunch of defensive horses on their team, but the offense is just underperforming right now, and that could be I think people are angry about that.
They are. They're a little spoiled.
Yeah.
Their fans, I think they have an easier path than some of the SEC teams, so I think their fans are right to be have a little, mm-hmm. they should expect to beat Georgia Tech.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Georgia Tech, glad, sad, or mad?
Glad.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, they've got a big win over a ranked team. Whether Clemson proves to be worthy of that ranking will play out over the year, but it was a big win either way,
absolutely.
However you look at it.
Absolutely.
And, who they play this week? I can't remember.
Who, Clemson?
Tech.
Why did you have to ask me that? I'm having a brain lag. I think it's strong.
Yeah, that's not a pushover team kind of, so. All right. Well, it was another classic weekend of college football that shows you why we love the sport so much, with so many close games and comebacks, and the Georgia game was right up there at the top of them. And
well, I'm already getting nervous for Oklahoma Auburn 3:30 on Saturday. Georgia, you can relax this week.
We got an off week this week. So
well, we had last week was the 24th anniversary of 9/11.
Yeah.
You and I were chatting. Of course, that's a somber, terrible thing. And then you had the Charlie Kirk deal.
That was tragic.
Tragic. And I know we're not going to get into politics, but I was going to ask you, I've got a funny little, I think it's funny, a little 9/11 2001 sports story. And you said you kind of have one too.
Well, mine is a little bit. When that happened, the Georgia-Houston game was supposed to be played the following Saturday. And as around the country, teams postponed that game, it was played in December. And at the time, I was doing a little freelance work off and on for the Associated Press, and they asked me to go to Sanford Stadium that day and just kind of what were my observations. And, of course, it was deserted. I went through the bookstore, and nobody's there. And the flagpole, you could hear the chain rattling up against the flagpole. Mm. It was a beautiful day, but it was just like an off weekend. There was nothing going on. So that was kind of the memory I had of that particular weekend as it relates to college football.
Well, the big thing, you remember in the 90s, Florida and Tennessee were, that was a huge game every mm-hmm. year, and they played early in the year, and Florida you won. I think Spurrier beat Tennessee like 9 out of the 12 years he was there or something. But that year, that was going to be the week they played, mm-hmm. and it got pushed to December, and Tennessee upset them in overtime and went on and played, and actually got beat by Nick Saban in LSU in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
But, Gator fans, that was a great team. I think they had their running back, I think it was Ernest Graham, got hurt. But a lot of Gator fans thought, we played early in the year and mm-hmm. beat them, that might have been another national championship. But my story, my 28, about to be 29-year-old son, who's a huge fan, that Georgia-Houston game that got delayed to early December, he was 5 years old, myself. A friend of mine named Doug Fincher, his family, he and his family own Fincher's Barbecue in Macon. We took our sons, both 5 years old, to that Georgia-Houston game. Beautiful day. I think it was December 1st.
Uh-huh.
It was beautiful weather. Perfect game to take a child to the first game. And my son, I bought him one of those big foam number one fingers. And we headed back to the car. We got back to the car, and he didn't have his... He lost his foam finger, and he told me this story that a man stole it from him, which I don't think is true. But anyway, we've laughed about that for 24 years, and whenever Georgia plays Houston in any sport, we call it the foam finger rivalry.
That's great.
The old foam finger rivalry.
Well, maybe it was like that woman up there in Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Phillies game, who stole the baseball.
That's right. Somebody stole his foam finger.
So. Oh, man. Well, it's great to hear you have a memory about your son. We had a chance to catch up with David Weeks last week before the Florida trip to LSU, and we'll come back with that interview in just a minute. So this is Blake Giles.
Jim Harden, like us, watch us, share us. Thank you for watching.
Hey, this is Blake Giles with Sidelines and Headlines, and I'm joined by David Weeks, a friend from a long time ago. And going way back to the days when he played at University of Georgia, and I was a reporter for the Athens Banner-Herald, and he was one of the Ray Goff's favorite guys to trot out and visit with the media. And then, David, you remember you and I, we did a high school football game one night together. I think it was over at Winder. You were my color commentator.
I think I was. That was a ton of fun. I think we saw Winder play Clark Central, and it was a great ball game.
Yeah. Well, listen, David, you're over in LSU right now, getting ready for another weekend of football. You spend a lot of weekends in LSU right now.
I do. Baton Rouge has become Aaron and I's second home. Half our family with our three boys all being here. Our family, I'm so thankful. We're so tight-knit and just thankful for the moments that we have together. I just had breakfast with two of them.
Which two did you get to have spend some time with?
I was with West and Zach, so the oldest one and the youngest one.
Okay. All right. Where was Whit?
Whit had to go to the facility, do a little treatment. So he would have been there with us if he didn't have to get his, get some rehab done.
All right. Well, I know you and Aaron treasure those moments. Tell me, what's a typical weekend like for you nowadays when you're traveling?
Right. Yeah. So, basically I come out on Thursday for all the home games. I get here on Thursday, and then go watch practice. See their walkthrough on Thursdays. And then me and the boys get together for a dinner on Thursday night and just kind of talk about the game, talk about last week's game, what all's going on. And then Friday morning, one of the things that I love is I've gotten older. I really enjoy walking. And so I've got a little 4 mile hike around the campus that I do right as the sun's coming up and see the sun glistening on Tiger Stadium and the students are starting to get going. It just helps me get my mind right. And then Friday nights, we have a big family dinner, minus the boys. We always have a lot of people with us that come into town. It's funny, so many people in Athens have all of a sudden become LSU fans and want to come out here to Baton Rouge and see the boys play. And then we'll see them at the hotel tonight. And then tomorrow, our tailgating for a night game, we generally start about 10 a.m. and have
Wow,
several different
it's a
tailgates.
full day, isn't it?
Full day. We're exhausted by the time Sunday rolls around.
Do y'all fly out or drive?
We do. We fly out. So fortunately, there's a flight that just goes back and forth from Atlanta to Baton Rouge. And I make my reservations back in March. So the flights are very reasonable back then. If you were trying to get out here now, though, it's probably $1,000 a flight.
Oh, wow. Well, of course, I guess that Clemson home opener was kind of like a home game for you.
It was
You
a
got to
home
Clemson.
game. It definitely was. We took a 24 person passenger bus up there, and we had it loaded down with people from Athens that wanted to
Well,
come see the game.
it was a great win for LSU, obviously.
Oh, it was great just to start the season off 1-0, because ever since we've been here, we always start off 0-1. So it was a great feeling,
Yeah.
especially knocking off Clemson.
Well, now you played at Clemson, I would assume. I can't remember specifically.
I did. It was the 95 game. Remember when they trotted out those throwback uniforms?
Oh, yeah.
They almost had the Michigan helmet, but it was purple and orange.
Have that little cross over the top of it.
Yes.
What's that?
Yes.
The running back, Torrin
Torrin
Kurtzey.
Kurtsey.
He
Torrin
had a
Kurtsey.
huge night that night, like 195 yards rushing or something.
Well, what's funny, Blake, is he should have had over 200 yards rushing, but somebody got a holding call and that bumped him
Oh.
back down to 190. I don't think normally I was the guy getting the holding calls. I don't think that one was on me, but that bumped him back down to 195.
Yeah, I do remember that game because of those weird uniforms that they had and everything. That's
Right.
cool. That's cool. Well, tell me, how is it that your boys wind up at LSU? How did that all come about?
Wow. It's such a cool story. West was getting recruited. His junior year is when COVID hit. And so in March, recruiting got shut down and never opened back up. And it was just starting to pick up for him. The one place that he had visited that he really had a connection with the coaches was UVA. So he went to Virginia and had a good freshman year, got on the field, played, had a start under his belt. And then when Bronco Mendenhall left, and this is right when the transfer portal just started becoming a thing. And, I'm an old school guy, Blake, so I never really even considered the portal, but he called me up and said, "Dad, oh my," because he loved the coaches. And even at the time, I thought, well, if a coach can leave, a player ought to be able to have the opportunity to leave. The portal's become something entirely different nowadays.
Yeah.
But so he jumped into the portal, and I told him, I said, "Bud, make sure that you keep the ties at UVA, because you never know. They might not, nobody might call you. I mean, you never know." And I'll never forget, it was on a Monday at 1 p.m. when he submitted his paperwork. And literally within a minute, he had people from all over the country calling him.
Wow.
USC, Lincoln Riley, Brian Campbell, or Brian Polian, who was Coach Kelly's right-hand man when he came to LSU, called. So we basically took a year and a half of recruiting and had to condense it down to 10 days.
Wow.
And we went to USC, the Southern California, LSU, and South Carolina. And I truly thought he was probably going to want to go to South Carolina. But when he came out here and saw it and met the people, he just fell in love with it. And I knew riding home, we were still going out to South Carolina. And I said, "Bud, what are you thinking?" He said, "Well, I'm going to wait till Saturday, but I really think I like it out here." And so Saturday morning, we wake up. And the first thing he tells me is, "Go Tigers." So And we had, what else was funny, Blake, is that so we went out to Los Angeles on a Wednesday, flew back home, and then Aaron and Wes drove up to Virginia to get all his stuff on a Sunday, and they're coming back. And we were going to fly out to LSU on a Tuesday, fly back home on a Thursday, and go to South Carolina. Well, Wes told me, he said, "Dad, I don't think I want to go to LSU. I'm tired. I think it's just going to come down between the two USCs. I'm exhausted. I don't think I want to go." And I said, "Well, bud, this is your decision. You do what you want to do." Coach Polian calls me 5 minutes later and he goes, "David, I just got off the phone with Wes and he told me he's not coming." And I said, "Yeah, coach, I mean, he's just tired and he just wants to go look at those two schools." Polian was really great about it. He said, "I understand that." He goes, "But do you mind if I try to convince him to come here? Because we really want him here at LSU. We're trying to rebuild the culture. We need players like him of character that are good players." And I said, "Coach, stay after." He goes, "Now you're going to be fine if I try to convince him to come here." I said, "Coach, exactly. I mean, I'm just his dad. I'm not going to tell him where to go. I've already had my time in the sun. This is his turn." And so I actually was texting with Coach Polian before the season started, thanking him again for staying after Wes because it was such a life slash family altering decision that Wes made, because then it was a domino effect of Witt coming to LSU and then Zach coming to LSU. So I never in a million years would have dreamed that we would be here, but it's turned out for the best.
Well, now, David, I can remember when these guys were playing in your backyard and were just young pups and
Yes,
everything. And
I know.
did you even those days think I'm going to have three boys that are playing college football?
Never, never, because I just wanted them. I wanted them to follow their own path, and football at this level is very hard too.
Oh,
I
it is, yeah.
mean, I don't think people realize what these kids go through. I mean, it's they're in the real world. The boys, they leave their house at 6 a.m. every day, and they don't get home until 8 p.m. And it's a grind. They love it. They embrace it. And I'm just thankful for the opportunity. I mean, golly, we have to pinch ourselves because having all three of them at the same place, playing the same position, and the coaching staff here is amazing. Their relationship's amazing. The guys on the team are so tight. It's really a special, special group.
Well, tell me about Brian Kelly. Folks down
Yeah.
here don't know him well. Of course, he
I
came to
know.
Athens when he was with Notre Dame, but tell us
Right.
about Brian Kelly.
We love BK. And this might be the best way to sum up the type of person BK is. He's got children that are my children's age. He has a daughter who's a little bit older than West. She works in Atlanta with a sports agency. He has a son who's West age, who is actually a football ops guy with LSU. And then his other son, Kenzel, is right between West and Witt. And Kenzel's a walk-on linebacker. And we have hung out with his kids, and his kids are amazing. They're great. They're funny. Just good characters. Have a very strong sense of ethics. And that's Coach Kelly. I think he gets a very bad rap here in the South just because of how he started here at LSU and people see the red face and all that kind of stuff. But BK, we love him. He's a great guy. Aaron and I have gotten to know him and his wife. And they're really just good people. I mean, BK, I think he would be successful. If he was not a football coach, he would be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. He knows how to build a team. He knows what buttons to press. He does some great things for the kids too. I mean, I think he's really evolved as he's, and I knew of him when he was at Cincinnati and when he was at Notre Dame, and I thought the same thing everybody else thought about him until I got to know him. And I think he's very smart when it comes to football, but he's also a great judge of character, and he really sets the tone, and he surrounds these boys with coaches that they love and they respect and they want to run through the wall for.
Yeah.
So, we have nothing but great things to say about BK.
Well, David, you've been around, of course, the Georgia football culture for a long time, having played at Georgia and then settling in Athens and working around the university. How would you contrast or compare Georgia's football culture with LSU's football culture?
Right. I think there's a lot of similarities. Obviously, with what Kirby's been able to do with Georgia, BK, it's taken him a little bit longer to get there because it was a total rebuild after Coach O left. But there are a lot of similarities. If you really listen to BK and Kirby talk, they say a lot of the same things. They just might say it in a different way. They're going to hold their players accountable. They're going to set the standard extremely high. They are not going to tolerate any of the nonsense that goes on as far as being late to meetings or, this other stuff. And then they're also going to have their players' backs too, meaning when something does happen, they might handle it internally. And I promise you, you don't want to know what they do to them internally because that's why they try to walk that straight and narrow line there. But, and I also think, too, the thing for Aaron and I, just still living in Athens and knowing the Georgia culture so well, the fans out here are so passionate, just like they are in Athens. And it means something to them. And they live and die by what these boys do on a Saturday in the fall. And it is something that's very unique to the South because I was fortunate with Witt and Zach and their recruitment. We got to go visit schools all over the country. And I can tell you, the SEC is onto a great slogan when they say it just means more. It really does just mean more down here.
Yeah. Well, now, did Witt play against Georgia in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium game a couple of years ago?
Yes. So actually, that was West because Witt was
West,
still in
I'm
high
sorry,
school.
West. Yes.
So West was on special teams against Georgia.
How did
And I was.
how was it for you that game? I mean, that had to be a little bit unique.
You know what, Blake? Well, it's so funny. I get asked that question all the time,
I'm
and
sure.
I understand where Georgia fans are coming from, but when they say, "I bet it sure is hard for you," I go, "It's not hard at all. I'm cheering for the Tigers." And they're like, "Oh, really? I can't believe you're cheering for them." I go, "What would you do if your sons were playing at a different school? I'm not going to cheer against my own sons." And I love Kirby to that. Kirby and I played together. Bobo and I played together. Witt got recruited. And when Witt, our official visit to Georgia, Witt still laughs. He goes, "Dad, I think you, Kirby, Muschamp, and Bobo had more fun on my official visit than I did." I said, "Oh yeah, because it was just like 94 in the locker room all over again."
Well, I know you told me that. Was it you and Muschamp that used to sell lumber together? Was
Yeah,
that you two guys?
we sold lumber for Jimmy Rain and Great Southern Wood, and our job was to drive Coach Goff all around the state of Georgia trying to sell lumber.
Oh, man. Well, one thing I wanted to ask you, we keep up with high school football, obviously, still in this area. And of course, you were involved with coaching as long as Zach was over at Oconee County High School, right?
That's correct. Yes, sir. I just retired. This is my first year of retirement from coaching.
Well, do you miss that in any way?
You know what? It was such a great chapter because I did it coaching youth football all the way up to high school. And I actually don't miss it at all. I'm very content with being able to turn that chapter over in my life. And I'm so thankful that because beforehand, I was never able to come out to LSU on a Thursday when I had a
Right.
Friday night game.
Yeah.
And I would get home at midnight, try to calm myself down, wake up at 4:30, get to Atlanta, get on an airplane to go see the Tigers play.
Yeah.
And so now I'm really able to take a deep breath and just enjoy this moment because this year it's going to go by so fast. And I want to be here for every moment there is.
Well, is West a senior this year?
He's a senior. Yes. So he's
So
a
this will be
fifth
the
year
only
senior.
year all three are together. Is that correct?
It will be. It will be.
Is there a chance all three will be on the field at one time, or has that already happened?
No, it has not happened yet, but Zach made the travel squad.
Oh, that's great.
And so he's running second string linebacker right now. And they haven't had a chance yet, but hopefully this year, Blake Baker, the DC, the defensive coordinator here, I know that he really wants to get them all out there together.
That would be a cool moment. I guarantee you got to have your camera up for that one, ready to record that.
Yeah, I told West, I said, when that happens, you better tell the sideline photographer, he better be snapping pictures.
That's great. That's great. Well, David, you're an Ole Marist boy. You
Right.
played for Alan Chadwick, who's still at it. Can you believe
Still
that?
there. It was unbelievable, Blake. I got invited to go back to practice this year, their last camp practice. And now that I'm not coaching high school football, I'm trying to take advantage of all these opportunities of things that I haven't been able to go to just due to my commitments to coaching high school football. And I went back to Marist and they had a practice. This was right before they played Jefferson. And Coach Chadwick is still the same Coach Chadwick that he was in 89 when I was playing with him. I mean, he doesn't miss a beat. What a great guy, too.
I had never met him. He came to Georgia originally
That's right.
and was it East Tennessee State where he transferred to, I
East
think?
Tennessee State. That's correct.
And then had a
Yes.
cup of coffee with the NFL, I think, didn't he?
He did. Yeah, I believe it was with the Bears.
And then of course he's been high school coaching ever since, and has had great success, has won state championships, and of course the program there speaks for itself of what they've been able to accomplish over the years and everything.
It's amazing. And it's to see the I think one of the keys to Coach Chadwick's success, he still has guys that are on his staff coaching with them that coached me in high school. And that shows you how long. And I'm 52 years old now. So
So
it's
they
been a
want to
minute.
stay with him then, don't they?
They want to stay with them. And I think that's the mark of a true leader when people want to stay.
Well, David, tell me about your businesses right now. How are things going? You still got your restaurants?
I'm still in the restaurant business. I love it. We have three different brands. Barburrito's obviously was our first brand that I got into 22 years ago. And then we have Dunkin' and Nuke's Eateries. And all of our stores are within a 4-county area of Athens. We're in Clark, Oconee, Walton, and Barrow. And just love it. I mean, I'm so thankful. Obviously, football is a passion of mine, but the restaurant business is another passion of mine,
Well,
too.
I'm
So
sure that out there in Baton Rouge, you've been introduced to some interesting Cajun or Creole cooking. Any chance that there might be some of that bleed over or another franchise come over this way?
I look because it's funny. I actually have been able to meet a lot of restaurant owners out here, and we talk about it all the time. And I love the Cajun food and the Cajun culture. It's so unique. I tell people all the time because it's almost like there's this mythical aura of Baton Rouge, especially in Athens, because back in the old SEC East and West days, I mean, Georgia and LSU didn't play each other a lot. I mean, there's been one or two games where the Georgia fans have been able to come out to Baton Rouge. So people hear all the stories about it. And I'll tell them, I say, guys, everything you hear is true times 10. It is crazy out here.
This LSU team, is this a have the makings of a championship team?
I believe it does. And I'm not afraid to say that. This bunch, it's thrown around a lot today of teams loving each other and caring about each other. In our experience in college football, that's not the case the majority of the times. Especially in today's transfer portal era, the danger that you run into is if you take a kid from another school, there's probably a reason he's transferring, right? Either, he could be disgruntled, he might not be a good player, whatever. And a lot of times you might get somebody else's problems. I know this year, my boys took a very active role in recruiting. And so BK kind of told them, all right, guys, I want you all to go get our kind of guys. And they got our kind of guys. And this team is so close with each other. And they have such buy-in with the coaches. And I mean, it's still early on and a lot can happen, but with the way the 12-team playoff is now, I think LSU has as good a shot as anybody just because they have the pieces, but they truly care about each other. And I think when you watch them play on Saturdays, it hopefully comes through on the TV of how much these boys care for each other.
Yeah. Well, now, any chance West will play beyond this level?
Yes. Him and Witt both have talked with agents, and you know the I've learned so much about that process and how that works. And you know, if we can keep them both healthy, I think they're both, you know, they say that Witt, the middle boy, could potentially be a first rounder next year, and Wes could be a day three guy. So you know, again, that's in the future. We'll worry about that when it comes. And you know, I'm so proud of them, because even when they were playing high school ball, I always told them, I said, guys, you don't need to get all these camps. You don't need to do all this stuff. All that matters is what you do on Friday nights. Because if you play ball on Friday nights, you're going to get noticed.
There
And
you
they're
go.
taking that same mentality now. I mean, they're off of social media. They don't engage. They don't, it's all about Saturdays. And that's all their focus is. And so, hopefully the good Lord will and help, they're going to have the opportunity, but, we gotta go take care of the Florida Gators tomorrow, first
All
and
right,
foremost.
I got a question for you now, David. Thinking about guys getting paid. Who buys dinner when you're out there? These guys are getting some money now. They can treat dad to dinner, can't they?
What? They can, and I keep waiting for that to happen, for them to pick the bill up. They haven't, and that conversation's coming though down the road here. I keep hoping that they eventually pick up what dad's trying to teach him. I will say that Witt did one day when Aaron and I got here, we went to this little one of our favorite sandwich places here and got sandwiches, and Witt called our order in for us. And I asked him, I said, all right, bud, how much do I owe you for? He goes, don't worry, Dad, I got this one for you. But the bill was $30. So he took care of me on that bill.
Right, small steps, small steps. That's what
Baby
it says.
steps. That's
Hey,
right.
David, we hope you have a great weekend this weekend against Florida and a great season going forward. And give our best to all three of your boys and Aaron as well. And you got a daughter out there too, I guess, right? She travels
Well,
with you.
she does. Yeah, she's a seventh grader. Kate's our seventh grader, and she's the toughest one of the bunch and probably the most athletic of the bunch. She's at Oconee County Middle School right now. So she and Aaron, I just saw they went to Zaxby's and are going to the airport. So I'll go pick them up here at 4.
All right, good deal. David, thanks a lot, and best wishes for you for the rest of the year.
Hey, I'm Blake Giles.
Jim Harden.
And we're on Sidelines.
And
And
Headline.
we're back after that great interview with David Weeks. And it was interesting. We caught up with David before the LSU game with Florida. And as it turned out, the Weeks boys, they all left an impression of one type or another on the game. Of course, Witt got ejected very early for targeting. Now, I did not see the play. My wife told me it was targeting, and it was a
I
good
think so.
call.
Yeah, I think it was.
And then West, his older brother, played a good bit, but then he also, I think, got banged up and was taken out. And then they finally put in the younger brother, Zach, at the end of the game. And did you see what Brian Kelly had to say after the
And
game?
he said he wasn't sure he knew what he was doing, didn't he? Or
Yeah,
something like that.
but he said he put forth good effort, you know. So it was a great effort for LSU and a good win for them. And they're undefeated right now. It's the first time they've been undefeated in the Brian Kelly era. So there's a lot of excitement down there about football. So it was good to catch up with David, and he still keeps up with what's going on around here locally. But he says if Georgia and LSU play, ain't no question, he's pulling for LSU.
Hey, blood's thicker than blood
There you
sometimes.
go. There you go.
But
All right.
yeah, can you imagine as a dad having three guys playing
I
for?
know, no way. I knew those boys when they were boys. We did a feature story in Oconee the magazine years ago about some of the Georgia lettermen who'd gone into business for themselves, and David was on the cover with his three boys at the time, and they were just young fellows. Well, Jim, it's been good to be with you again, and we'll be back next week with some sidelines and headlines. In the meantime, as he said, you can always like us, subscribe to us, tell your friends about us, and spread the word about sidelines and headlines.
Thank y'all.
We'll
Enjoyed
be
it,
back
Blake.
next week.